We're going to have to leave it there. Rick MacArthur, publisher of Harper's Magazine, author of Second Front. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Brew for the SLU, Columbia SLU Watershed Council Give Guide Party on Thursday, December 13th, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Alberta Street Pub in Portland. This event features food, drink, live music, fortune telling, and more. The Columbia SLU Watershed Council works to clean up the Columbia SLU. They teach environmental education in schools, engage volunteers to plant trees, and nature festivals. Again, that's Brew for the SLU, Columbia SLU Watershed Council Give Guide Party on Thursday, December 13th from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Alberta Street Pub, 1036 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow.
Get ready. Tomorrow is another big give day with Willamette Week Give Guide.
Donate at kboo.fm/give for a chance to win a Sony RX100 VA mirrorless camera from Pro Photo Supply.
If you're 35 or under, you have an even better chance to win. A second camera will be raffled off to one donor under the age of 36.
Your donation at kboo.fm/give provides access to KBOO, commercial-free programming that broadcasts the voices, conversations, and artistry of our community.
To donate or to find more information, go to kboo.fm/give.
Support KBOO,
where music makes the movement.
It is a little past five, and coming up next, we have KBOO Evening News. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Levin and Levin, LLP, attorneys specializing in personal injury law. Levin and Levin offices are located in Southeast Portland and Old Town Sherwood. More information available by phone at 503-946-8708. And online at levinandlevin.com.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, the OHSU tram hits a woman, the Portland Straw Ordinance, and in international news, Carbon Emissions Report. Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, December 5th, 2018. I'm Rachel Hartley. Oregon's Christmas tree farmers are feeling the effects of climate change. Dave Roy, who has been farming Christmas trees for over 30 years, reports that of the 9,000 seedlings he planted this year, only 10% survived. Each tree takes between 10 and 12 years to grow, and Roy estimated that the financial loss would be over $16,000. Oregon is the leading grower of Christmas trees in the nation, which thrive in cool, damp climates. But with 2018 being the hottest on record in Portland and the ongoing drought conditions, trees across the state have been harder to find. If you want a plastic straw in Portland, you'll soon have to ask for it. City councilors passed on an ordinance on Wednesday preventing restaurants and dining establishments automatically give customers plasticware, including straws and condiment packets. The law will come into effect from July 2019. The council did consider passing an outright ban on plastic straws, which in other cities, including Seattle, have already done, but decided against it after people with disabilities urged a more flexible policy. According to the Ocean Conservancy, plastics are the sixth most frequent cause of litter in the U.S. Over 660 species, including whales, dolphins, turtles, and seabirds, are known to be harmed by plastic waste. The sky wasn't falling on Lair Hill yesterday afternoon, just a 35-square-foot piece of metal from the tram. An unidentified PSU student was crossing the pedestrian bridge over I-5 when the piece of metal hit her in the head. A man walking behind her called 911, but the 21-year-old refused an ambulance. Her father, Dan Spauer, took her to the emergency room where she had swelling but no serious injury. Spauer said, and quote, "It had some jagged edges on it, but thankfully none of them hit her," Spauer said. "If the metal hadn't hit the pedestrian bridge, it would have landed on I-5. A court filing from special counsel Robert Mueller recommends no prison time for General Flynn because of the immense help he's been to the Russiagate investigation. The otherwise heavily radicated filing also notes that Flynn added details to a, quote, "a range of issues, including interactions between individuals in the presidential transition team on Russia. Among those individuals is Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law. Flynn resigned from the Trump administration last year after the Washington Post revealed he had lied to investigators, a charge he pled guilty to in December. Saying it was time for the Democrats to, quote, walk the walk, House Rep-elect Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez announced she would pay her interns at least $15 an hour. A study last year by Pay Our Interns found that only 8% of those who work for Republicans in Congress and 3.6% who work for Democrats get paid. The percentage of paid interns is higher in the Senate, but Democrats lag behind the Republicans, with 31% paid compared to 51%. Ocasio-Cortez said, and quote, "It is unjust for Congress to budget a living wage for ourselves, yet rely on unpaid interns and underpaid, overworked staff." You're listening to the KBOO News in the evening. Stay tuned after this newscast for the news from the BOO. At 6, it's Kitchen Table Conversations. Then at 7, it's Keeping It Real. Tonight's weather will be clear with a low of 34 and winds gusting up to 33 miles per hour. Tomorrow's weather will be sunny with a high of 44 and continuing strong winds. Today in history, in 2013, Nelson Mandela, the political activist against apartheid, who spent nearly three decades in prison and later became the president of South Africa, died at the age of 95. The quote of the day is from Mandela, and quote, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure." And now it's time for today's report from National Native News, the daily newscast dedicated to Native American news, issues, and culture.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Tribes and Native organizations are encouraged by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals stay issued this week in a Texas lower court's decision finding the Indian Child Welfare Act unconstitutional. In a joint response by five national Native groups, including the National Indian Child Welfare Association and the National Congress of American Indians, they state the decision to pause the ruling in the case Brackeen versus Zinke pending appeal is welcome news for Indian children and Indian families. It goes on to say, especially in states like Texas, where efforts are underway to remove the law's protections. Plaintiffs, including Texas and foster parents, sued the federal government over adoptions claiming the law is race-based. In October, the Federal District Court for the Northern District of Texas ruled the law unconstitutional. The decades-old law is intended to keep Native children with Native families. Tribes across the country and Native groups have vowed to fight for protections under the law. The state of Alaska has begun the process of giving about 13 acres of land the state developed without permission back to the village of Golcana. Nick Jackson is the vice president of the village council.
Saturday was a big day for Golcana. They got their land back.
According to a news release from then-Governor Bill Walker, the village formally agreed to the process Saturday. The move came 3 days before Walker's successor, Mike Dunleavy, was sworn into office. Jackson is not sure how the new administration will handle the agreement, but hopes it would be honored. In 1943, the Alaska Road Commission built a bridge across Golcana River, splitting the village in half. Jackson says the village was forced to relocate. When the project was finished, Jackson says the land was to be given back to the village, but that never happened.
Ever since then, back in 72, we started trying to get it back. So that's what we've been working with different administrations all the way to Saturday. Finally, we convinced them.
A parking lot and camping area sit upon the former village site and about 100 graves. The agreement creates a 30-day comment period before a public hearing. The Arizona Supreme Court has sided with a ski resort in a longstanding challenge to artificial snowmaking using reclaimed wastewater. As KNAU's Ryan Heinches reports, the Hopi tribe contends it desecrates sacred sites and prevents religious ceremonies.
A split decision by the state's high court rejected the Hopi argument that snowmaking at Arizona Snow Bowl on the San Francisco Peaks causes a special injury to the tribe. The majority wrote that such a classification must be tied to monetary or property interests. Snow Bowl began making snow in 2012 using treated effluent it purchases from the city of Flagstaff. The peaks are located on the Coconino National Forest and considered sacred by more than a dozen southwestern tribes. Snow Bowl and the city didn't comment on the decision, but in a statement, the tribe said the long-term impact of snowmaking is immeasurable on the natural resources, shrines, and springs of the peaks. Chief Justice Scott Bales, in a dissenting opinion, wrote that the Hopi face the destruction of some of their most sacred locations and practices. The Arizona Supreme Court ruling on the Hopi lawsuit ends years of legal challenges to snowmaking brought by numerous tribes. For National Native News, I'm Ryan Heinches in Flagstaff.
A proposal headed to New Mexico's upcoming legislative session seeks to rename Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day, the Associated Press reports. Native American state lawmaker Derek Lenti is preparing a bill to rename the holiday. Some cities in the state have already moved to celebrate Indigenous people instead of Columbus Day in October. New Mexico's legislative session opens in January. Lawmakers are working on pre-filing their bills this month. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
In another blow to democracy, the Wisconsin State Senate and Assembly just passed a bill limiting the powers of the incoming Democratic and all future governors. The bill also transfers major authority over the state's legal affairs from the incoming Democratic Attorney General to the GOP-dominated legislature and limits early voting to no more than 2 weeks. A similar voting restriction was passed in 2016 in Wisconsin, but declared unconstitutional. While statewide elections were won mostly by Democrats, the Republicans maintained legislative control because of the state's highly partisan gerrymandered district. Meanwhile, in nearby Michigan, two legislative proposals were altered and passed. The minimum wage will go from $9.25 to $12 an hour in 2030 instead of 2020. The paid sick leave proposal that would have allowed workers to accrue sick leave after working 30 hours a week has been changed to 40, and also exempts 1 million employees of small business from paid sick leaves. Global carbon emissions will hit a record high in 2018, according to a new report. A Global Carbon Project report estimates that CO2 emissions will increase by 2.7% in 2018. Up sharply from a plateau from 2014 to 2016. The increase is attributed to a growing number of cars on the roads and an increase to coal use. Emissions are up globally, including 4.7% in China, 6.3% in India, and 2.5% in the U.S. The report says the trend can be reversed by 2020 with cuts to transportation, industry, and farming emissions. Now tune in to KBOO News' poet Dan Raphael, who is mourning the death of democracy and not George Bush.
I neither mourn nor celebrate George Bush's death, keeping the nasty in dynasty while I'm still alive under Trump on a dying planet. In Wisconsin, the Republicans, still in charge because of gerrymandering, just passed laws to cripple the incoming Democratic governor and secretary of state. Those few who have more money than all of us together want to make sure our overwhelming majority of voices has no say. The stock market, however, matters and doesn't like uncertainty, false messages, insulting allies, so they do have something in common with us. Meanwhile, it's cold. Everyone needs an inside to be in and enough money to keep that inside warmer than out. Why does that cost so much? George Bush knew and got richer from it. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, December 5th, 2018. Here are the points again. OHSU tram hits a woman, the Portland straw ordinance, and in international news, the carbon emission report. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Oliver Minslow. The producer is Rachel Hartley, and our engineer is David Coasters. The director of Evening News and Public Affairs is Rachel Hartley. A podcast and transcript of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland in 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath, on 104.3 FM and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Rachel Hartley. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO. At 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Voices from the Edge. Guest host Linda Olson-Usterlin talks to the Innovation Law Lab about the Sikh asylum seekers locked in federal prison in Sheridan, Oregon. At 9, it's Press Watch with Teresa Mitchell's weekly look at the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30, Fight the Empire with host Per Fogarang. At 10, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on Between the Covers, it's a conversation between author Liz Crane and Edward Lee about his new book, Buttermilk Graffiti, A Chef's Journey to Discover America's New Melting Pot Cuisine. And at 11:30, Black Book Talk welcomes Coco Laban to talk about her book Legend of the Chocolate River. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.
producer Upersent from Valencia, Spain, with the title track from his 2016 release on Berlin-based Upon You Records, Penumbra. You're listening to Deep Threes. I'm Jay. Eric Pietras shared the soundtrack for some of his unique experiences in the San Francisco Bay Area on his Beams album. Our next sonic expedition embarks from Duck Island, a tiny haven for wildlife in the middle of man-made Lake Elizabeth, all nestled within Fremont, California's Central Park. Thank you.
world is so difficult to give up, tied to it by small things, my eyes noting movement, color and form. I am watching, unable to leave, for something is happening, and so I stand in a shower of rain or under a hot sun, worn out with looking.
And now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KBOO, with news from your community radio station.